The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, coming to your cordless, everybody. It's Monday, March 11th, 2024. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and 10 p.m. Central Time, where I'm sitting here in Northwest Minneapolis. I'm Jim Peters. Welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night, episode number 95. We'd like to thank you for watching all across the world and wherever you are. And I'll tell you, we had a frustrating day here today. First of all, I got some apologies to make. Our website at jimandnight.com is offline. And so because of that, you can't call in with your camera tonight. No webcam calls. We're taking calls only at the Blog Talk Radio audio phone number. That's 563-991-3435. Now, it's Monologue Monday, and so I encourage you to call in and tell me I'm nuts or whatever it is. 563-999-3435 on the screen here. The reason it's not supposed to be Monologue Monday, if you looked at our schedule, which is now offline on our website, Michael Harrison was supposed to be here tonight, but we were going to record his interview this afternoon, and we found out while we were trying to record that the website was offline, and because of that, we can't record an interview because that's how people enter our virtual studio. So that's shot. So anyway, so we rescheduled him for Thursday. So, yeah. So anyway, we got no website tonight. The other thing is, it sounds like it's all falling apart. It probably is. Our Facebook page is still offline. It's not supposed to be. Last week, was it last week or the week before, Facebook told me they were banning me. And then they changed their mind. Okay, fine. That's great. And my account is restored. My account is restored. The show page, our page at facebook.com/JimAndKnight is not restored yet. And I don't know what's going on here. I just think I'm getting paranoid. I wonder if they're fucking with me. You know, there's a whole bunch of social justice warriors that work for all these companies, you know, and they're going to stop people like me from saying what I'm saying. And, you know, I mean, I've said this before. I don't pay a lot of attention to YouTube, even though we're on YouTube, because I assume eventually YouTube is going to cancel us. This is our 95th show. We've already been flagged. In 95 shows, we've already been flagged by YouTube for misinformation. Misinformation 5 times. So I just think it's just going to happen. That's what I think, which is the reason I pay most of my attention to Rumble. And also lately, so our telephone number, we switched in February. We switched from a live Spreaker Live, because they're shutting down that service to Blog Talk Radio, which I've been on for many years, actually. I'll be perfectly honest with you. The reason we didn't do Blog Talk Radio right away is it's quite expensive, relatively speaking. But the thing is, they do give us a telephone number, which we have. And the majority of our phone calls now have been coming from people listening on Blog Talk Radio, because they have a live directory there. You go there at any given moment, you can see what's playing live. Now, that's actually true on Rumble, too, and it's also true on YouTube. Except on YouTube, it's almost impossible to find the live page. It's like, you know, give it a shot. Maybe you will, or maybe you won't. I got to say, you know, for all those engineers at Google, and they're so damn proud of themselves, the interface for YouTube sucks. It just sucks. I mean, it's such a mess. It's unbelievable. Any rate, I'm bitching and moaning. So I just told you. So we got a website that's offline, and we have a Facebook page that's offline. So tonight, if you want to talk to me, call me at 563-999-3435. Okay, so like I said, tonight was supposed to, excuse me. Oh my God. You think they can hear me burp in Sydney, Australia? I don't know. We've rescheduled Michael Harrison, the founder of Talkers Magazine, from tonight to Thursday night. So he's here. He's going to be he's plugging the new video by his band, Gun Hill Rose. It's actually pretty cool. It's called Damn Scammers. It is, and we'll talk to him about that on Thursday. Tomorrow night, we got Jennifer Oliver O'Connell coming on. Now, she normally appears with Jeff Meyer one Wednesday a month in our dynamic duo segment. But I asked her to come on this week because she wrote a piece on nutrition, of all things, on Red State. And it's really, really, we have to talk about it. It's a long piece. She talks about her own personal health foibles, and especially as a woman. You know, I am not a woman. I don't know if you can tell. But and I don't identify as one either. Maybe I should start. Maybe I get more money from the government. Anyway, she's here going to talk. That is actually why she's coming on. You know, she's a fantastic writer. She writes a lot of things. We've talked to her before, but she's coming on specifically to talk about nutrition. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. You don't want to miss that, you know, because my guess is you're a fat fuck. I'm a fat fuck. I wasn't most of my life. I wasn't, but I had hormone issues about 7-8 years ago, and I'm not actually exaggerating. And I actually did. I had to take some treatment for hormone imbalance. So the doctor told me this is, I think, in 2000, and can't remember now. Anyway, he said, here's the deal. In the next 6 months, you're going to gain 20 pounds. And the time I see you after 6 months, you're going to feel like crap. And that's exactly what happened. He was absolutely right. And then he put me on a regimen, but I never really lost the weight. And I hate it. I hate it. I do. But most of the people in America are fat fucks. And apparently, especially children or young people, oh my God, it's unbelievable. What I think is that one out of every three people under the age of 18 is obese. It's something like that. And it's mind-boggling. Anyway, you should listen to this tomorrow night. We're talking about nutrition. Wednesday night, David Strom, associate editor of hotair.com, is going to be here. And we're going to talk about some of the stuff he's been writing the last few weeks because he, like me, is getting very angry. There's a lot of shit going on in the country that should not be happening. That's all, you know, and I don't have to talk to you about it. And, you know, we're going to talk about it over the next hour. So he's coming on Wednesday. Michael Harrison will be on Thursday. It's rescheduled for tonight. Next Monday, I'm taking off. I got a doctor's appointment. Now you're wondering, okay, we do the show at 11 o'clock at night. What does it have to do with it? Usually, I'm often prescribed new medication. Or I'm given new medication at the doctor's office, and oftentimes, I don't react well to it. So I don't even want to try. That's my thing. So we're off next Monday. And next Tuesday, we have Les Velez is going to be here, and he is the founder and chairman of the Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support. That's OPUS for short. And so this is a support group set up for people who say they've been abducted by aliens. Now, you know, okay, you can laugh, you know, fine, that's fine. And he also wrote a book about this. The book is called The Unknown Other. It's a fascinating book, and it's an almost entirely case studies of the people who have come into his organization seeking support. And some of these, you know, there's a standard abduction scenario, and most of you are probably aware of it, you know, little gray men, and you're taken aboard, and there's experiments. But some of these things are really, really out there. And so, I'm always fascinated by this stuff because here's the deal. These people are either completely lying or they're telling the truth. There's basically no in between, you know? So, you know, I'll let you decide what that is. You know, I pretty much decided I think the majority of these stories are true. Not all of them, the majority of them. But he wrote a book on this, and this is what his organization does. So that'll be fascinating, too. Next Wednesday, I'm telling you about the dynamic duo. That's on the 19th? No, the 20th. Wednesday the 20th, Jennifer Oliver and O'Connell comes on with Jeff Meyer, and we shoot the shit. But that happens to be our 100th show, which is cool because, you know, Conk News is a sponsor of this program. And Jeff Meyer is the owner and publisher of Conk News. And so, I mean, it's nice that he will be here for that. I'm very happy about that, too. It's our 100th show. Do you believe it? Christ. Unbelievable. Not a Facebook has their way. Okay, so you can't call me with a webcam tonight. You can't. This being the first show in America that took video phone calls, seriously, Talkers Magazine said that, not us. And they know, but not tonight. Tonight, you want to call in? Here, you got to call in on this number, right? 563-999-3435. That's how you call in. And you should do that because I want to talk to you. There's a lot of stuff going on here. And finally, we are sponsored, as I said, by Conk News. And this is the front page of Conk News in real time. And there's a story here that let's talk about it right now. I don't know if you can see this on your screen. On the top left corner, the picture of Trump here, that headline says, poll, insurrectionist Democrats oppose certifying Trump election of Trump wins. And that's actually true. Rasmussen poll came out, 57% of Democrats. These aren't like weirdo Democrats or people in Washington. These are just nationwide. 57% of Democrats don't think the election should be certified if Trump wins it. Now, these are the like Jazz Shaw, and Jazz is coming on next Thursday, I think. I didn't put him in the rundown I just gave you, but he's coming on a week from Thursday, and what is that, the 21st, if I'm right? Story on Hot Air about, he said, you know, it's really amazing. You're going on all this list of all these things these people bitched and moaned about January 6th, you know, blah, 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 and now they want to do this. They want to do what they accused Trump of doing, which he actually did, as Jazz points out, he didn't actually do. But they want to do it. I mean, we are dealing in crazy times, folks. Jazz ended his article with this. If Monty Python had did this, they wrote this as a skit. They say nobody would believe it. And he's right. They wouldn't. Crazy town. So, tonight, I want to talk about just stuff. It's Monday. Normally we don't book guests on Monday night. We booked Michael Harrison as a courtesy because that's when he could do it. Because it's been a three-day weekend and we don't do Fridays, and there's a hell of a lot of stuff to discuss. So let's go back to the State of the Union on Thursday. The ratings for the State of the Union were up 32% from the previous year. They were way up, and it's my speculation too. I think people watched just to see if Joe could get through it. Now, the amazing thing is, even though way more people watched, his poll numbers as of today are exactly the same. Nothing's changed. He didn't convince anybody of anything. So that's kind of amazing. But he said, I don't have to tell you this, I'm sure you know about this now. He said during that the State of the Union, when he's talking about Lincoln Riley, he's got a lot of shit for mispronouncing your name. I will forgive him that. But here's what I won't forgive is that he said that she was killed by an illegal, which is a factual statement. That's true. The guy was in the country illegally. Now, the White House is saying he's not apologizing for using the word illegal, but he says he regrets it. But you know, so he's on with Jonathan Capehart, some bozo from MSNBC, some self-important smug jackass who thinks he can do an interview. And he's telling Capehart that he regrets using the term. But this is the part that kind of flew under the radar, and this is what really bothers me. I'm astonished at how, and there's something else I want to talk about here in a minute too. I notice shit that most other people don't notice. I don't know why this is. He said almost in passing in that interview, and the thing is, I heard the interview this weekend, but it wasn't until I heard it, saw it on Hannity's show a couple hours ago. I just happened to be watching TV. I usually don't watch television before we do the show, but damn it, it's such a frustrating day today. I was just sitting there. I'm just kind of ready to throw out my hands. I'm sorry. You have to forgive me. We might end this early because I'm just just in a pissy mood. Website goes down, Facebook goes down, blah, blah, blah. You know, I got whatever. Okay. But he said this interview almost in passing. He said, quote, "Unlike Trump, I'm not going to disrespect any of these people." Not even a fucking murderer? You're not going to disrespect a murderer? I mean, God almighty, man, what the fuck are you made out of? Now, I have become, you know, I've said this before. I've decided this guy's this guy being the president of the United States, he's a despicable asshole. He is. And the amazing thing is he does virtually everything he and the Democrats have accused Trump of doing. Now, yeah, Trump says some ugly shit. That's true. I mean, you know, do you know anybody who's not going to say that? You know, the matter is the country ran well. Now we got a guy who says way more ugly shit and the country doesn't run worse shit. So he said, I'm not going to disrespect any of these people. Yeah, he's not going to disrespect a murderer. Let's let that go. I will grant him the fact that he did not actually apologize for using the word illegal. He says he regrets it. Okay, that's fine. But this, he's not going to disrespect any of them, even the criminals. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know. And so, of course, I'm getting off my own outline here. The Biden administration released their budget for fiscal year 2025 today. There's a whole shitload of stuff in there for border control, but it's just maintaining what's already going on. There's absolutely nothing in there to stop the flow of illegal immigrants into the country. Nothing. In other words, they want to control it better. They don't want to stop it. And of course, we all know why. They're already trying to push bills through Congress to let all these people vote. You know, that's the thing. I was reading, I think it was David Strom, or maybe Tucker Carlson a few days ago. And it occurred, you know, people have used this term, you know, Tucker's used it a lot, the replacement theory. And that is they basically want all these illegals to replace regular citizens. And at first I thought, well, no, that's not really the right term because, you know, they want to add to their voting rolls, but they're not trying to replace anybody. But now I'm starting to think they actually are. There's this thing that happened in Colorado. I don't know if you saw this. They built a apartment complex to give apartments to homeless veterans. At the last minute now, they've turned around and they've given these apartments to illegal immigrants. The homeless veterans are out. And I just find that just the ultimate in disrespect. I do. People give their lives for their country, and some jackass comes across the border because they can walk across the Rio Grande at Eagle Pass and they get a free apartment. You know, well, that's you do that if you want to buy votes. But the thing is, I mean, this was also in the news today too, and that is the Democratic Party is losing minorities at just an incredible clip. I mean, their solid base of non-white people that used to vote for them is leaving in droves and either deciding not to vote or they're going to vote Republican, one or the other. I mean, right now, it looks like, unless, you know, you never know what's going to happen in 8 months. It looks like Biden's going to get shellacked. That's what it looks like. And all they've got in their playbook is to call. I mean, somebody said this on MSNBC this weekend. You just have to keep they just have to keep hitting the theme of that Donald Trump's a fascist, Donald Trump's a racist, and Donald Trump's a rapist. You know, not to mention, you know, don't talk about the fact that Joe Biden's a racist or a rapist. And a racist, too, for that matter. But Tara Reid's been on Twitter all over the place saying about the fact, no, you know, I don't want anybody to forget the fact that Joe Biden raped me. You know, and there's real, you know, unlike this thing with E. Jean Carroll, and also it really needs to be pointed out, the E. Jean Carroll trial was a civil trial, not a criminal trial. And although the jury found for sexual misconduct, they found Trump innocent of rape. They, you know, I don't know where they drew the line. I mean, she says she was raped, but they say that she was not raped, that he may have sexually assaulted her, but she was not actually penetrated. That's what they said. Whereas, and this whole thing is so, so fishy. I mean, it was 30 years ago. She doesn't remember the year. She admits she doesn't remember the year. They changed the law to make a one-time exception so to absolve the statute of limitations on these sexual crimes. It was basically, it seems like it was changed specifically to let her get in and under the radar. And meanwhile, Tara Reid, there is real credible evidence that Biden raped her. I mean, she told people at the time, there's real credible evidence that this happened. And she won't let it go, and I don't blame her. I don't blame her. The president of the United States raped this woman, and then he turns around and calls Trump a rapist. I mean, it's hilarious. The balls of these people are mind-boggling, but they don't have anything else. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy was on Fox News tonight, and he says he's very simple. And he's right about this. I've talked about this, too. This is the first time in 100 years and only one other instance in the United States history where you have two presidents actually running against each other for the presidency, the current one and a former one. Because normally, former presidents, you know, can't run normally. Or, you know, most of them win two terms, and the ones who don't are basically out. And that was the same thing that happened with Trump here, too. A lot of people thought he wouldn't run again or wouldn't be able to. But not only is he running, he's going to be the Republican nominee. So you have two presidents actually running against each other. And Ramaswamy said very simply, he said, all we have to do is point out Trump's record against Biden's. And he's right. That's all you got to do. You know, that's it. I mean, people that hate Trump's guts basically have to acknowledge the fact that the country ran pretty damn well. I mean, that's all there is to it. And Trump proved that you don't need Congress to control the border. He proved it. You know, I'm starting to realize, looking back, and it wasn't just Democrats, Republicans too, George W. Bush. There's been this kind of this lie the entire time that you needed congressional approval or some sort of congressional bill to, quote unquote, fix the border. No, Trump did it. And he did it just by signing a bunch of like executive orders, and it worked. So, I mean, and that's the very thing they're afraid of. They're afraid that Trump will blow their cover. And I'm not just talking about Democrats here. I'm talking about Republicans, too. You know, I mean, I got a thing later on the outline here, and I can't remember what state this is on. That there's some Republican congressman who turns out is in the pocket of the Chinese. No, really? Congressman would do that, let alone a Republican? You know, I've said this before. We may have a conservative bent here, but we're not batting for Republicans. We're not. There's a difference between conservative and Republican. And I won't, if the Republicans fuck up, I'm gonna mention it too. That's all there is to it. So, at any rate, the Oscars were on Sunday. I didn't watch. I don't know who's watching. I have no idea who won. I do not care anymore. I don't care. Jimmy Kimmel made fun of Katie Britt, who did the Republican response after the State of the Union. And here's my thought about this. And I saw that. Not when she did it. I saw it. I watched it afterwards on replay. She got a lot of crap for doing this, even from Republicans. They said she was overly dramatic. It's like, you know, I think she connected with the target audience, and that's suburban women. My problem with Republicans. The fact that they thought she did so poorly is the very reason they don't connect with suburban women. You know, that's the thing. You know, we can't have this. Yeah. Well, this is what suburban women like and want. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, and yeah, you can call me, you know, I don't know, sexist or whatever it is, but no, I think she connected with the core, with the intended audience, and that was the intended audience. I think it worked. Now, amazingly, Mitt Romney agrees with me. Now, I never thought I'd agree with Mitt Romney in frickin' anything, but he does. He's pushing for Katie Britt for VP based on her performance, and some people think, is he just You know, is this just his idea of irony? Is he trying to fuck Trump up? You know, but the thing is, that's not my intent here. I think she succeeded. I really do. They made fun of her on Saturday Night Live. Jimmy Kimmel made fun of her at the Oscars. The Republicans have been some of them have been kind of respectfully kind, but they've still said this didn't work, you know. And no, I disagree. I think it did. You know, and like I said, I think the fact that so many people don't get it is the very reason, is just proof in the pudding that the Republicans don't understand how to connect with these women voters. That's what I think. So, I don't know. And so, meanwhile, Robert De Niro has said that if Donald Trump is elected, he's pretty sure Trump's going to come after him. And my response to that is, you're not that fucking important. You're just a fucking actor. And you've been whoring yourself out for years. You seem to have some talent, although I have gone on many times. I've gone on the show talking about what dramatic film acting talent actually is. It basically doesn't exist. I was talking to Linda Salvin last week, guest, you know, and I don't know how we got out of this. I think she mentioned something about being in the moment, and I was talking about the fact that the primary talent of dramatic film acting is the ability to be in the moment. Now, granted, not everybody can do that, but a whole bunch of people can. In other words, it's not like writing symphonies. It's like if this is a relatively common talent. And if you can do that, you can be. And once again, I'm going to repeat the story again. I have a cousin who is an assistant director in Hollywood, a very celebrated one. I'm not going to name her. Worked for a slew of Oscar-nominated and Oscar-winning films. And she's told me, she said, Jim, straight out, she said, Jim, we have this down to such a science now that we could take somebody off the street at random, and as long as they can follow directions, we can make them look like a genius on the screen, an acting genius. I mean, those were her very words. That's what she told me. And I've done enough acting myself to know she's absolutely right. Now, comedic film acting, that's a whole different game. That takes real talent, severe talent, which is, you know, there's that whole thing. I can't remember what stage director said on his deathbed. He said dramatic acting is easy, comedy is hard, or something like that. But yeah, that takes real talent because of the timing, and most people don't get it. Ted Danson said this. Somebody asked him about being on CSI. You know, he said it's easy as hell. All I have to do is be in the moment and react to the lines, and I'm fine. He said, and he compared it to being on Cheers, which he said was very, very difficult. He said acting on that show was hard because of the timing and the anticipation of the audience. Well, at any rate, I spent most of my life in professional music, so I kind of have a little bit of knowledge of this stuff, you know. The Wall Street Journal said this weekend that China has a plan that they call Delete America. And it's basically their plan to remove all American hardware from their computer businesses, from their tech industry. Yeah, right. And we're not at war with them. Right, of course. And then the amazing thing is they said that we would be a heap load of trouble if we decide to suppress China. That's their ambassador, top diplomat to the U.S. said that. And then on top of that, there's TikTok, which we certainly got to talk about that. I mean, all right, so the deal is there's a bill going through Congress, and it looks like it might pass, and Biden amazingly has said he might sign it, which is the right thing for him to do, even though, and you know, something I cannot say this, I hate to defend the president because, like I said, I think he's a despicable jackass, but I'm going to defend him when he needs to be defended. And that is, so his campaign is using TikTok, right? Which I'm not on TikTok. Well, frankly, I personally, I'm not on social media at all. You can go looking for me. You won't find me. And I was on social media years and years ago, and they say it's all permanent. No, it isn't. And not because I wipe myself either. it just kind of go after a while, some of it just goes away because there's only so much room for storage. But, you know, people accuse the White House of hypocrisy for being on TikTok and then saying they're going to sign this bill. But as long as TikTok's legal, you might as well use it to your full effect. You know, that's the thing. That's why I'm standing up for the president here. It's like, it's a legal thing. There's no reason you shouldn't do it. If you shut it down, okay, fine, get off. You know, that's terrific. So TikTok started posting messages when people logged in. The first thing they saw was a message that says Congress is trying to ban TikTok. That's not true. That's actually a lie. The amazing thing is they've doubled down on that lie. They're putting out press releases now and saying that they say that no matter what Congress says, they're trying to ban TikTok. It's a flat out, complete, utter lie. What Congress is saying is that if TikTok wants to continue operating, the Chinese company that owns it has to divest it to an American firm. That's what they're saying. If that happens, TikTok lives. So no, it's not an outright ban of TikTok. God, you know, I become so cynical. These people, that people, they lie and lie and lie. The amazing thing, when they're caught in a lie, they even double down on a lie. And that's exactly what happened here. What TikTok is saying is absolutely positively not true. Congress is not trying to ban TikTok, but they will shut it down, divested by the Chinese company, because that Chinese company has tentacles into the Chinese government, or actually vice versa. The Chinese government has tentacles into them. That's the reason. So they've been posting this on their login page, and apparently Congress has been deluged with phone calls. I mean, I've read that several people who run congressional offices said the most phone calls easily they've ever gotten on anything. They also have people calling up that appear to be young people who are threatening to kill themselves if they do this, and also people threatening to kill congressmen if they do it, believe it or not. I mean, they're getting death threats because of TikTok. Now, Trump said, and this is really interesting because this is one of the few times I kind of disagree with him. Well, I do disagree with him, not kind of. Trump said, we don't actually want to do this to TikTok because if TikTok shuts down, Facebook and Instagram, Meta, will inherit all their business. And I don't think that's true. Matter of fact, you have to understand the dynamics of what's going on here, why TikTok is so popular. I've been on TikTok. When I worked at Kong News, when I was the editor there, Jeff Meyer, he asked me to look into it. He said, do we want to be on this? Okay, so fine. I loaded it up. Here's an insidious thing on TikTok. I didn't want to put it on my phone because I know that you put on your phone, there's shit that can never come off. You can look at TikTok on the web, on the desktop web, but if you want to sign up for an account, you have to do it on your phone. They force you to do that. So you have to download the app. So for my research purposes, I had to do that. So I looked around at TikTok, and my first thought is, if people think this is entertainment, they're nuts. I just thought this was just stupid as hell. I mean, it's like, what, you're going to show me a video of what's in your refrigerator? You're going to show me a video of what you had to eat for dinner, how to put earrings on, whatever. It's just bullshit. I mean, 95% of it is complete, utter, total crap. But, and here's a big but, it has an excellent user interface. I mean, that's the selling point. It is way, way user-friendly than any other of these social platforms out there. That's the point. And that's the reason people on TikTok, not because of some, you know, because they've been hypnotized or something like that, they're on TikTok because they can't stand most of the other social networks, and I can't either. I mean, the show is on all of them. We're on seven social networks, and I'm not, but the show is. And I'm constantly logging into this shit, and I'm astonished at how bad some of these user interfaces are. I was talking about Facebook earlier. It's true. It's a mess, a total utter mess, and YouTube is too. It's like, you know, what are you doing? Well, the thing is, Facebook is set up to make money from you every 5 seconds. That's basically the deal. You know, they won't let it go. And of course, it's a money grubbing corporation, so that's kind of their job. But that doesn't mean I want to use it either. But TikTok is not like that. TikTok actually kind of they actually did kind of go for the user. And so You know, so here I'm saying you got to hand it to the fucking Chinese. Once again, they did our thing better than we did. You know, I mean, they're launching, you know, these hypersonic missiles they had. The plans were ours. They stole them. They stole them, and then they built the missiles before we had a chance to do it. Because we're old, slow, and bureaucratic. And we're full of crap now, too. China's flying our missiles before we are. God almighty, really? Seriously? What the hell? And here, and so we invented social networks, and of course they turned around and built one that's better than ours. So that's the thing here. I don't think if TikTok shut down, I think most of those users would go into the ether. I don't think most of them would sign up for another service. Besides, most of them are probably on multiple services already, you know? So you're wondering, why is this popular? No, that no one's forcing anybody to do this. No one is. It's a really good service for what it is. I mean, like I said, I think that if you're looking for entertainment, I think it's absurd. But I'm 68 years old. I'm not the target audience. I'm not. So, yeah, they're doing it really well. I mean, it's really frustrating because communism, and let's not be fool ourselves here. It's a communist country. It's the, you know, the Chinese Communist Party, is CCP. That's what that stands for. The reason they think they'll beat us is they have one thing going for them, and that is they can turn on a dime. If Xi Jinping President Xi wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I want everyone to wear yellow underwear, it's going to happen in about 2 days. Us, we have to take it to Congress. We have to fight over it, and it'll take months or maybe even years. Yeah, that's the thing. They have speed and agility on their side. They do. Now, they don't have truth, and that's the real problem, because in a culture of truth, you can invent a lot of shit. And that's what we do. I mean, we invent pretty much, the Americans, we invent pretty much everything on the planet. Not quite. I mean, I know I'm not trying to denigrate other cultures, especially the Europeans, but we do. We invent the vast majority of the stuff. And that's because we have the freedom to think that way. I mean, China is horribly known for no innovation. They don't have any innovation. They steal our stuff. Yeah, and like I said, they steal our stuff, and now they build it before we get a chance to build it. It's really, really, it's insulting. It's terrible. Oh, man. Okay, so David Strom is coming on Wednesday. He wrote a piece on Hot Air about the fact that, RuPaul, the drag guy who started RuPaul's Drag Race on, Bravo? I don't know. I never watched that stuff. Oh, decided to open an anti-censorship bookstore. Now, if I'm right, the bookstore is both online. I think there is a physical brick-and-mortar location in Los Angeles. I'm not sure about that. But the idea is that they were going to censor or ban no books whatsoever. If you would find it there. That lasted 3 days. They got so much shit from the LGBTQRS community and the trans community about stuff in there that was even mildly offensive to, or not, or just ideologically non-aligned with the gay community, that in 3 days they canned that. It's hilarious to me, just hilarious. Now, I've been waiting. I have a lot of connections to the gay community here in Minneapolis for reasons I won't talk about. I used to work for a gay organization for many years. I'm not a gay man, but I did. And it's already happening. The gay community nationwide will eventually rise up and tell the trans community to go to hell. They're getting really tired of this. Because the trans community, regardless, we can talk about the actual biological problems with being trans, all that sort of stuff. That's not really the problem. They don't really have anything in common with the gay community. They don't. You think they would, and people try, you know, they're all like, quote, queer, you know. No, they aren't. No. Gayness is a sexual orientation. Trans transsexuality is a genetic identity, and there's two completely different things. And not to mention the fact that I and many, many other people are convinced, although they haven't proved it yet, I think that homosexuality is genetic. My two proofs or primary evidences of that is that virtually all mammals have the 10% of any mammalian species has about 10% of them are gay. These are animals. We're not talking about humans here. I'm talking about animals, raccoons, you know, sloths, koalas. Yes, 10% of them are gay, right? All right, so they don't have any political shit going on. They're animals. Koala bears are eating. What's the leaves they eat? That's all they eat, right? That's what they do. And they have sex. And 10% of them want to have sex with the same sex. So you got to argue with that. And then also the fact that this goes back thousands and thousands of years. And finally, it really needs to be reiterated. There's very, very, very few real trans people. No matter what you think and what you hear in the media, I mean, even the New York Times estimated it was one out of every 200 people. And I think that's high. It might be one out of every 1,000 people in the populace is trans. You know, so this affects very few people. But you'd never know that listening to the media, would you? No, this is almost an experiment. They're trying to test how far they can push the regular public into accepting shit. Because there's the next golf tournament, they now did about face and they have banned transgender. Well, I never get this one. These are men pretending to, or identifying as women. They banned them from a competition. Yeah. And all right. So yeah. I said pretending, and that's what it is. But here's the deal too. So I'm watching Caitlyn Jenner on some show. I can't remember what it was. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't have any problem with this guy. Guy wanted to dress up as a woman. He wants to live as a woman. Okay, fine. I don't have any problem with it. I don't. And even he, and granted, God bless him, because he was in his time, maybe the single most accomplished athlete on the planet 50 years ago, but still he was, you know. And so even he has come out strongly about the fact that transsexual men should not be in women's sports. And he's right. They shouldn't, you know. So I'm, you know, I was trying to think why I don't have any problem with that at all, and yet I have a real problem. Well, that my problem is with transsexual men in sports, in women's sports. I think it should be completely outlawed. Because here's the deal: they aren't women. You can talk to your blue in the face. You are not a woman. You aren't. Period. You know. Now you can live like a woman. That's fine. You know, if you want to present yourself as a woman, I don't have any problem with it. I don't have any problem with Caitlyn Jenner at all. I'd love to talk to her, and I'd love to interview her. I would. Be fantastic. But being competing against biological women in a sport, no, you can't do that. Anyway, so I was talking about the Biden budget for 2025. They've decided they're going to fight inflation by raising taxes. I can't cover for the stupidity of these people anymore. I have never covered for it, but still, I'm not even trying to justify it. Every time in American history that we've lowered taxes, revenues into the government have gone up. You got that? When we lower taxes, revenues go up. Now you think, well, that's counterintuitive, but actually it isn't. If you know even the basics about economics, macroeconomics, no, there's a reason for this. Here's the reason. You lower taxes. The assumption is you lower taxes for businesses too. Businesses now have more money. What do businesses like to do, or what do they have to do? They have to compete. So when businesses have more money, usually the first thing they do is turn around and hire more people, right? So then you have more people on the payroll, you have more people getting paid, and those people are now paying more taxes. Got it? It's not that they're even that they're paying a higher percentage. It's just that there's more of them paying out more money. Got it? So because of that, I don't even know how to explain myself here, right? Because of that, revenues to the government actually go up. That's the way that works. It's a very, very simple concept. It's a very, you know, Americans seem to finally, I'm actually kind of surprised about this because up until very recently, up until Trump, to be perfectly honest, Americans have been completely, what's the word I'm looking for? They've been deaf to basic economic principles. No one seems to know anything. But the Biden administration was so overt, flooded the market with printed money when he first, in 2021, and people understand that that's the reason we have inflation. I'm talking about very literally printing paper money. I'm talking they created way, way more money than should have been created at one time to fund, to give away to all these things for COVID relief. And most of this stuff was not necessary. You know, a lot of this money, a lot of it, I can't remember the percentage, but 35% was ripped off, was completely gone to the wind, of course. And that's, of course, what happens when government does anything on a major scale, and that is the vast majority of it's wasted. So they printed all this money, and then they're wondering where inflation came from. Anybody in a college 101 economics course could have told them that was going to happen. And shit, people did tell them it was going to happen. I did too. You know, Lindsey Graham he's basically yelling to anybody who would listen that you guys do this, you're going to completely screw the economy up, and that's exactly what happened. And now your eggs cost $7. And the other thing is, you know, now, so this came out today in the State of the Union on Thursday. You know, Biden's got his thing, these things up his butt, the shrinkflation thing. And he said, you buy a bag of chips, there's less chips in it. You buy a bag of Snickers, there's less Snickers in it. Well, the Snickers people came out, that's Mars, I think, right? They came out today and said, no, that didn't happen. The number of snack Snickers in the bag is not decreased. So that's in your imagination. And, you know, they admitted they're having a harder time holding the prices because of the ingredients are going up, you know. But they said, so far we've done this. We have not decreased the number of Snickers in the bag. That is in Mr. Biden's imagination. Now, of course, this has happened, obviously, you know. And that's the reason the eggs thing is so important. Like somebody says, you can't change the number of a dozen eggs, because that's kind of the definition of what a dozen eggs is 12, you know. So the only way you can do that is by adjusting the price. And that's one of the reasons in particular people have seen this with eggs, because, well, a dozen eggs is 12 eggs, no matter how you cut it. You can't make it 10 eggs. You can't. And so it's not that the shrinkflation thing isn't happening. It's just that, you know, Biden seems to think it has something to do with corporate greed. No, it's inflation. It's shrinkflation is inflation, period. You know, and he's always going on about the greed of these corporations. No, you know, what he doesn't understand, and here's an amazing thing. He's 81 years old, and he's been in Congress for 45 fucking years, and he still doesn't understand this. And that is, one moment. See, you should take me out to the back and shoot me too. What was my point? I was going to say he doesn't understand that. This is my point. He doesn't understand that there's competition. Competition keeps everything in a level playing field, which is the very reason we don't want globalization. Because if the world becomes one giant country, there's no competition among countries. Now, we got an interesting thing here in the United States. We have 50 states in the Union, and the states actually do compete against each other for resources, for businesses, and for people to live there. There's, you know, you can't get around that. Some states are better to do businesses than others, and if people see that as a long-term trend, people who own and run businesses, they will move their business. It happens all the time. So states compete against each other. Cities very definitely compete against each other. No, for the same thing. There's no doubt about that at all. And countries compete against each other too. You know, up until recently, we've had a pretty sweet thing here in the United States. Everybody wants to come here. And then you look down the southern border, people still want to come here. Because as bad as it's getting here, it's worse everywhere else. So the thing is, that's the thing. Countries compete against each other, too. So you want globalization. You want the whole world run by one world government. Oh, my God. It would be a totalitarian disaster. Because that's exactly what would happen. We would end up with a totalitarian government because it would be ripe for fraud. I mean, our system's ripe for fraud anyway. The country is what, 202 years old or something like that? You know, basically for the first 200 years, we were more or less escape corruption. We aren't anymore. We are now a corrupt nation. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if Trump can fix that. I don't. You know, I think people have are putting a lot of credence in the hope that he can at least get rid of some of the swamp, because the swamp is very real. There's, you know, and it's literally sheer bureaucracy, and people just want to hold on to their jobs, and especially these government jobs, which are fairly cushy. You know, even clerk jobs, I think, are pretty cushy. I mean, I'm a grand generalization here. I'm sure some of these people work very hard. I'm sure they do. But as a general rule, because the thing is, it's almost impossible to fire people because of that. As a general rule, government jobs, even on the state and local level, are relatively cushy. They just are. So you have a whole bunch of people who don't get a lot of work done, and who are basically getting paid by the system to hold everything in place. That's the deal. So here's what I was talking about earlier. It's Wisconsin. The assembly speaker for the state of Wisconsin, Robert Voss, is on the board of a organization that fronts for the Chinese Communist Party. That's what it is. And I tell you what, that's bullshit. He guy should be gone. I know these people are all over the place. You know, people call them rhinos, or they have swamp creatures or whatever you can call them, whatever their thing is. You know, they're all over the place. And yeah, that doesn't matter. You know, I don't care if he's a Republican or a Democrat. That's bullshit. That guy should go. Very simple as that. Now, I want to address this, too. Okay, so have you seen the film of the guy who set himself on fire to free Palestine, right? Google fired an employee last week because this guy interrupted a tech conference they were giving, ranting about Israel and Palestine, about the fact that Palestine needs to be freed. So they fired him. And this guy set himself on fire. I watched that video. He filmed himself. He live streamed himself, and I watched it. And all I can think from watching this is this is like the Darwin Awards. This was the stupidest thing ever. What did this guy accomplish? Nothing. What did this guy at this Google tech conference accomplish? Nothing. They're not convincing anyone. All they're doing is losing their jobs and losing their lives. That's it. Nothing is funnier to me than queers for Palestine. Nothing. Because if you were queer in Palestine, they'd be throwing you off a roof. And, you know, that's become a joke, but it's actually true. They don't have any tolerance for queer people of any kind. Let alone, you know, I'm not talking about gay, you know, the whole queer, it's everybody, you know, all. Basically, if you have any sort of weird sexual preference at all, you get thrown into there. If it's and I don't want to call gayness weird, but the thing is, it is if it goes against the norm, they are the minority. But still, the fact is, it's like if you're a queer in Palestine, you're screwed. And so you got people over here, you know, oh yeah, we're for Pal, yeah, right, you know, let's take care of it. And folks, I've given up on the Palestinians long ago. I used to be one of these people, well, besides the fact that I was a liberal, I was one of these people who thought, well, we need a two-state solution. And I thought that until the very end of Bill Clinton's term, when he got Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat at the White House or Camp David. And it's December 2000. And it's the last month of his presidency. And he's going to see if he can do this. And so Rabin and Clinton basically gave, in these negotiations, they basically gave Arafat everything he wanted, 99% of what he wanted. They kept a tiny little bit to save face. They gave him basically everything. And he said no. And in retrospect, I think this is in Clinton's biography, he said he finally realized that they weren't really interested in having their own state. Because, first of all, if Arafat agreed to this and they solved the problem, he would personally be out of a job. There's that. He would no longer be the leader of Palestine. And secondly, about the fact that they just weren't interested in a state. They were basically just interested in opposing Israel. Excuse me. And since that time, and that's about the start where I started to question my liberalism too, I've come to the conclusion that a lot of other people have come to. And then you have to understand that the Palestinians actually elected Hamas. It was 14, 15 years ago. They haven't had an election since. But they chose Hamas as their government, a bunch of terrorists. And these people, and the Hamas, they're incapable of even telling the truth. You know, Israel bombed a hospital. Well, no, they didn't. You know, Israel, you know, our people are starving. Yeah, well, they're dropping, Israel and the United States are dropping food and you're stealing it. You know, I mean, it's like they're incapable of telling the truth. And they have gone on record numerous times saying completely out in the open their goals to wipe Israel off the map. They're not interested in having their own state. You know, they say they are, but they're not. You know, because the thing is, in some ways, they already did. I mean, it's what the Gaza, they've had, Palestinians have had the Gaza Strip for 14 years, something like that. I can't remember. That where Israel basically walked out and left it to them, you know. Well, they haven't really done much. Meanwhile, you know, in the last 75 years, the Israelites took a dusty piece of land and built Tel Aviv, one of the greatest cities on earth. You know, it all has to do with a mindset of how you look at life. You know, Hamas's goal in life is to kill Jews. The Israelites, their goal in life is to build a civilization. So that's the two different things here, you know. So Netanyahu's absolutely right that they have to destroy Hamas. They don't have any choice because Hamas will turn around and do it again, you know. And the stupid Palestinian people who back Hamas, well, they got a problem. They got to get the hell out of there. This is, I don't know. Like, the world's going to hell, you know? And I sound like an old man. I know that. I know that. I do. This is the fancy version of bitching about get off my lawn. I know that. I know what's going on here. Like, Christ. All right. So, we're gonna end with a couple of things here. And that is, Michael Schratt says that he's figured out that the U.S. military beat anti-gravity or figured out gravity in October 1954. And he said by the 1980s, supposedly we now have an anti-gravity spacecraft that we're hiding. All right, so here's my problem with this, especially the anti-gravity spacecraft. They might have figured out gravity. He says they figured out gravity by reverse engineering crashed spacecraft, and I've always said that they probably did, I said these Tic Tac things that are flying around, you know, down the San Diego and off the coast of off the East Coast, and where, you know, these things people are seeing. I think most of them are actually ours, but the reason we have them is because of crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. In other words, but I think most of them are actually built by us. But the thing is, as far as the 1980s, I got a problem with this because we didn't have any really good computing power in the 1980s. That didn't really happen about 10, 15 years later. And if you have a drone, even a stupid $40 Target drone runs off of a fairly sophisticated computerized system. They're standardized, they're commoditized now, which is the reason that the drone costs $40. I mean, I don't know how many companies are doing it. I'm guessing, you know, there's probably about a half a dozen companies that do drone navigation, you know, so they have the software and they fit the software. And it's really, you know, if you have four propellers, it all runs the same, basically, right? Okay. So we have those drones now, and those drones are flying all over the place, and we have big, big, huge military drones that are computer controlled. And I don't know how I don't know how the military does it, but they have their own internet where it's basically super, super fast. There's basically no latency at all. You know, people who play video games talk about the latency and lag, you know. But so they're flying these drones all over the earth, and they can fly them from thousands of miles away. I don't understand technically how that's done, but I know they can do it. But in 1980, I don't know. You need a certain amount of computing power to be able to do that. And I don't know if we had it. Now, that said, I've seen one of the giant triangular spacecraft. I saw one about, I got them in, I can't remember the year, but it was around 2010. And it was huge and absolutely enormous, but that was 2010. You know, that was what, 10, 12 years ago, 14 years ago. You know, so, you know, I don't know. But anyway, Michael Schratt says that that he knows that this happened. Now, I've been trying to get this guy on our show. He agreed to be on my podcast at Conk News about a year, year and a half ago, and I have not been able to connect with him since. So I'm still trying, because really interesting guy. He writes for aerospace magazines. I mean, he knows, and he says he knows a lot of shit, and I believe him, you know. And finally, there's a guy who says that, this is an article in the Daily Star UK, but he's not the only person who's saying this. He's saying that all of the stuff that's going on with UAPs and the federal government is they're trying to essentially set up a false flag operation. I've said that too. At some point, they're going to say, oh my God, we're being attacked by aliens. We need $20 trillion. That's what they're going to say. It's going to be a money grab. Whereas in reality, if the extraterrestrials wanted to attack us, they would have already done it. There would not have been any hesitation. We would all be dead, and maybe we are, and I'm just talking to, and I'm making this up as I'm talking to this camera. I have no idea. But there would not be a war. They'd just kill us. Got that? Because the thing is, folks, you have to understand this. All right, this is what I've been able to gather 30 years of researching this. It's not just that extraterrestrials are coming to Earth. A shitload of them are. And people say, well, where's the evidence? Well, the thing is, we don't see the vast majority of these spacecraft because of cloaking and their advanced technology, but we get glimpses every now and then. I've said this before. One of the major reasons we know this is the stupid local television news crews that go out to shoot a parade or you know, some sporting event or something, every city has of the top 250 cities in the United States have television stations that broadcast over there. And they go out, they have their little news crews, and they go out and they shoot shit, you know, and they set the cameras up, and they, you know, sometimes they're just, the cameras are just pointing at nothing while they're setting up a tripod or something like that. And then they go back to the station and they edit the footage. And then somebody says, oh my God, what's that? These television news crews and people who do this, who shoot video on a daily basis outside, are constantly seeing weird shit fly across the cameras constantly. It's not even a thing anymore, you know. And a lot of these videos that you see on YouTube, yeah, a lot of them are faked, probably most of them, but some of them aren't. It's like there's a very famous footage that's been analyzed a zillion times. I think it's in Colorado. The camera's in a valley and just sitting there, just pointing. I don't know. It's the same thing. I think they're just waiting to film something. And this thing flies across the screen so fast you barely even see it. But the thing is, when they slow the tape down, or whatever, it's not tape, it's a file, they slow down. Not only did it fly across the camera, it did a curve into the valley, and you can actually see it. And it's going, I think somebody figured out it was going at 12,000 miles an hour. It's going faster than the speed of sound. And they figured out it's not a stupid bug or anything like that either. It's a real flying machine. And if you didn't look carefully, you would have missed it. That's how fast it's going. Well, what the hell is that? You know, and the thing is, then you multiply that by the fact that probably happens, you know, 300 times in America every single day. No, we're being inundated with visits. This is not that's what's going on here. And the other thing is, you know, you're going to the assumption they're all gray aliens. They aren't. We're talking about all sorts of different species from all sorts of different planets. And most of these civilizations probably do not actually know each other. So you're talking about, I'm going to use the word people because they're, you know, okay. You're talking about people that are anywhere from 200 to 1 million years ahead of us. We've only had electricity for 150 years. You know, we've only had computers for all practical purposes for 50 years. You know, the smartphone in your pocket is not even 20 years old. Remember, I went to Micro Center this week, during the weekend, to pick up some supplies and crap. So I'm there, I'm looking at the cell phones. You know, they got unlocked cell phones. The Blue company, that's BLU, they're very well known for making really good phones, Android phones, cheap. You can get a Blue cell phone for $70. You know, that cell phone has more computing power than I bought my first PC in 1989 from Sears of all places. And I bought it from there because it actually had a 10 megabyte hard drive, which was huge in 1989. And the machine, amazingly, you won't believe this, it didn't run Windows 3, it ran Windows 2, which nobody remembers because it was basically DOS based. It ran Windows 2. That machine in 1989, at that time, cost me $2,000. That's without a monitor. Just the machine was $2,000. Now I can buy about 1,000 times the computing power for $70. And that happened, 35 years, right? So you think, you know, there's shit that, and then I hear these people say all the time, well, you know, you can't fly faster than the speed of light. Well, first of all, we know how to do it. And I've talked about this before, about the fact that we don't have the energy to do it, but theoretically we know how to do it. But yeah, even if we didn't know how to do it, we're going to figure that out because people, I'm not talking about humans here, I'm talking about the vast numbers of civilizations all across the freaking galaxy, we figure everything out. We figure that out, you know? So you multiply that by 10,000 years, just think of where we're going to be. Or a million, which is not unreasonable. You know, the Earth is not, relatively speaking, is not that old. There's planets way older than this. So why did they get on that jag? Oh, about the fact, yeah, here's a reason. Because, yeah, if they wanted to kill us, they just kill us. We would never even know. We wouldn't know what hit us. We'd be sitting here, you'd be sitting at your desk at work, and all of a sudden, you'd be vaporized. You know, it's like, I mean, I hate it. It's really, really a terrible image, but it's like what happened to the people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're literally just, you know, sitting at their desks in the morning, and they literally, within 2 seconds, they are literally dust. Those people don't. It's not just that they no longer exist; their bodies no longer exist either. You know, so yeah, that could happen. You know, and that's so yeah. There's a lot of people think, and I'm one of them, that the government is going to try this at some point. they're going to say, we have to fight on, we need money to fight a war with aliens. We need $20 trillion right now. You know, I had Patrick Moore on the show, still the single biggest, most watched show in the series. You know, he's a climatologist, as I do, and I've got these cues from him and a whole bunch of other people. Global warming exists. Climate change doesn't. In the terms of humans changing the climate, no, that's not happening. No, they want you to think it's happening, but no, global warming exists. And that's the problem with all these concepts. There's always a kernel of truth to it. The world is warming up. It's just that humans aren't, we're either not causing it at all or we're only a minor contributor, one or the other. But I brought that up is because, I did that show with Patrick Moore. The next week on the UN website, I talked to Mark Morano about this too. I interviewed him too, and we talked about this during the interview because he saw this. On the UN website, they put up a page that said, we can solve the global climate crisis for $75 trillion. Yes, they actually said that. All we need is $75 trillion and we can solve it. It's like the thing from Austin Powers. I want $1 million. And everyone laughs. It's the same thing. Yeah, you're going to trust, you know, first of all, that's basically all the money on the planet is $75 trillion. And secondly, you're going to trust the UN with that, you know, an organization that can't seem to do anything right. Yeah, right. Tell me about it. All right. Okay, I'm done. All right, so hey, look, I'm going to tell you once again what we got going on here. All right, so tomorrow night, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from redstate.com. We're talking about nutrition. Wednesday night, David Strom, associate editor of hotair.com. Thursday, Michael Harrison, rescheduled from tonight. He's the founder and publisher of Talkers Magazine. And he's actually talking about, we're going to talk about his new music video with his band, Gun Hill Road. Next Monday night, I'm taking off, and next Tuesday night, the 19th, Les Velez, the founder and chairman of Opus, the organization that provides support for people who say they've been abducted by aliens. So that's what's going on here. I want to thank you for watching. I've had my notes on top of my face the entire time. So I want to thank you for watching very much. Really appreciate it. We've been getting people liking us on Twitter. It's taken a little while, but it's happening now. This is our 95th show, and basically we've had no real movement on Twitter at all until very recently. Rumble's great. We have over 2,000 followers. We add a few every day, which is really cool. So I want to thank you for watching. I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie, and good night to you, wherever you are. Take care. Have a nice evening.